enjoy a good squeeze.
Hi, I'm Margot.
And I'm August.
And this is A Good Squeeze.
A show where we squeeze a little 007 into our lives.
That's right, on the daily. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Don't laugh at me. I'm doing my best here. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. August, do you want to give us a little context?
You know, on this show, something we don't talk about enough is the themes of James Bond. And we're kind of tackling that here in a sense, a different route. You know, there is a little bit of a reverence to a James Bond theme song, a classicness, whether it's an older theme or something within the last few years, you know, it gets brought to a special tier. But what about the themes that never were, the rejected Bond theme songs, the ones that competed for said film but didn't make the final cut? For what reason? And, you know, was it the wrong choice in hindsight? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're going to look at in this little special episode. Like Margot said, a little different this time, not exploring the film world of 007, but more the music
that's
world.
Right. One thing that was interesting just as a newcomer, something you taught me was that the songs aren't just like they're going to decide like, oh, we want this musician and make this score, therefore they're just going to do it. I had no idea that it was actually people submitting songs to the producers or directors or whoever's in charge of that. I thought that was really interesting because it also gave me context for how popular of a franchise it is. Like the fact that you've got musicians and not like nobodies, not like just, oh, hey guys, this is like a, you know, of sweepstakes or whatever, you know, they're not putting this out to anyone. It's they, you know, you've got like big names competing for this kind of prestige.
Yeah. And that's a good word for it is prestige. Mm-hmm. 'Cause not only are you put on technically a short list of people, of artists who have made a Bond theme song, but it's good for your career. A lot of times it's what that artist is then known for. You know, yeah, for the rest of their career is that's their song, their Bond theme song.
And it's a two-way street, too, because you've got the musicians who want to be part of the Bond franchise, and you got the Bond individuals who are like, who can we get to really put this out? Like, I mean, I had no idea. I didn't really know about Skyfall until, because I was listening to Adele at the time, and then I was like, Skyfall? And then there was like a Bondy, like, design to the actual, like, thumbnail, and that's when I was like, oh, this is for a movie, huh? It is called Skyfall, huh? It's Bond. I didn't watch it, but you know, I knew of it, so
sure.
Back in the day, of course.
Yeah, and it can, and that is a great point. Like someone like Adele could and did bring people to the franchise, brought people to see that movie even, or just made them aware, like, oh, Skyfall, the Adele song.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're going to talk about some of these rejected themes, that's going to be a common tread is, why didn't they pick this over that? Well, because the other artist they went with was really popular at the time, perhaps.
Yeah. Like, we don't even need to say that for most songs. Let's just get it out of the way. Like, that's usually why they get chosen.
In a sense, yeah.
On that note, why don't you take the lead? What song you want to start with?
So
there's a few.
There is a few, and in fact, there's a few for this particular movie of old Thunderball. So what we ended up with was Thunderball by Tom Jones, one of the, if you ask me, one of the great Bond themes, one of the best classic.
And one of the best musicians, too.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Jones, come on, man.
And, you know, Tom Jones singing that song, he was a young man at the time, belting that final number. He passed out in studio, not surprisingly. But, you know, we'll save some of those conversations and tidbits and factoids for down the line, because I'm sure someday, like we're doing this special episode for rejected themes, we'll do a special episode for real themes.
Yeah.
But...
it is difficult not to reference the...
Oh, sure.
The current themes.
And, sure, sure.
But we'll do our best to stray.
Yeah. And this one was interesting because, you know, previously they did the film Goldfinger. Mm-hmm. And that damn Shirley Bassey sang Goldfinger. And what a great, maybe the most classic of the Bond theme songs. Mm-hmm. And very famous and popular at the time. So it only was natural to have Shirley Bassey come in and do the next theme song for Thunderball.
What is it called again?
So Tom Jones, he's the one who ended up doing this thing. It was John Barry. He worked with, I believe he worked with Shirley Bassey. Or he created the song called Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
And he had Shirley Bassey record it. And he had...
Lorraine Chandler? No, I'm thinking of someone else.
That's a different one. This one is Dionne Warwick. Mm. Record a version of Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And you know, between those two, just sticking with those two, I don't know if you felt this way, but the Shirley Bassey one is just, I don't know, richer.
It's undisputed tag team championship with just Shirley Bassey and Shirley Bassey. That's it. Like she, I mean, the other one, clearly she made an impact on me.
Dionne Warwick.
Thank you. It lacked that kind of confidence that I'm sure Shirley Bassey had at the time. Because I'm also guessing that Shirley Bassey was like, oh, they're totally going to choose this one. Because they did the last. So.
Yeah, and this is just one of those deals where Tom Jones was really a really popular musician at the time. But it was funny. I read that they ultimately went with the Tom Jones version because it was the stronger song and more in line with the mood they were going for with this movie. But it actually had the word Thunderball in the song.
Yeah, so. That's one thing that I get the whole Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. But like, I don't know. When you're thinking about the movie, yeah, that song could apply to any of the films because he's Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's a banger, but like it didn't fit the vibe of the movie.
Yeah, overall it doesn't. What's interesting though,
which is a groundbreaking thought on my end. You literally just said that, and I'm like, yeah, I agree.
What's interesting is John Barry still incorporated beats of the music of Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang in Thunderball near the beginning. There's a scene in Miami. And just like beats of the music are heard from the Shirley Bassey version.
I like that. Speaking of Thunderball, though.
Speaking of Thunderball.
We got one guy who kind of just took all the creative liberties. Good old Johnny Cash. It's so funny. Like you can't. He put so much effort in the song, but he put zero effort into understanding that it's not a Western. It's not like they're not riding on horses. It literally like sounds like the cavalry, like dun, 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 dun. Like there is like, isn't there a some form da, of da, like da, brum, yeah ba, there we go that ba, 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 I feel like that was his attempt at like, we need brass, right? Like, and then he just went that direction. It's like, Johnny, dude, like that's it. Just, it's a great song, but it misses the mark so hard with the James Bond mood.
It's not a good James Bond theme. It's not a James Bond theme, but it's a damn good Johnny Cash.
Hell yeah, it is.
Song.
It was, I think, I don't know if you showed me a video of this or if you just put on the opening sequence and like,
I found it.
Yeah, it's just so out of place because they're like swimming in water and you just hear bum, 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 bum. Like it just doesn't, it does not fit. Yeah. And they're not going to adjust. Yeah, you want the what do you call it? The opening credit scene or opening, what do you call that? The sequence?
Opening title sequence.
Title sequence. Thank you. You're gonna adjust it to the song that you choose, but at the end of the day, like they already know pretty much what they're gonna do, right? So you kind of want a song that's gonna fit that, and they're not just gonna have people riding on horses, like silhouettes of horses, sexy horses. Oh, that sounds great. No, I'm trying to say.
But yeah, like this underwater themed movie. With, Thunderball, your fiery breath can burn the coldest man. Just doesn't fit. But damn it, it's a good song.
They should have added like a... It's missing a little glue, 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 you know? But they made the right choice, I think. You know, it's one of those things where, well, Tom Jones's voice fills a room so well. Like, it just, I don't know, the way he just like charms his audiences. Mm-hmm. I'm just like kind of like, ah, Tom Jones at this point. But the other songs were good. I will say they were very good. And so is the one that they chose. But it's not just a matter of like which one's the best. It's which one fits.
Yeah.
And that was the one that fit.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, sticking on that same path, like the one that fit for You Only Live Twice. We touched on this in our own episode of it. And, you know, there was a version that we mentioned by Julie Rogers of You Only Live Twice, but there's also a version by a Lorraine Chandler, and both just didn't fit the vibe. And as we mentioned in our previous episode, John Barry wanted something more mysterious.
Yeah, one of them almost just starts with like the, you're like, don't do that. That's just too on the nose. Which one was the one who rhymed twice with twice?
I don't know.
It's like You Only Live Twice, but really not twice or some shit.
Yeah,
some shit like that.
I think that's the Lori Rogers version, because Lori Rogers, I think the Lorraine Chandler one is the one that you comment is seems a little too poppy.
You combine the names there. I think it's Julie Rogers. You said Lori Rogers.
Julie Rogers.
Yeah.
Lorraine Chandler.
As soon as I heard her do that, I was like, all right, you lost me. Mm-hmm. That's, we're done with that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was certainly the right choice once again to go with the Nancy Sinatra version. And we touched on that in our previous episode, so go back and hear our thoughts.
That's right.
Do you like either of those versions overall?
I don't love all three of them. Here's the thing. Like, they chose the right one, but they didn't really have much to choose from, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's... They had You Only Live Twice, but You Don't Live Twice, so they had that to work with. And then they had... So I'm just going to say, like, you know, it was kind of an obvious choice.
Yeah.
Was it Nancy Sinatra, right? Mm-hmm. I really like her voice. I think it's a good song, but it's definitely not, like, one of my favorites. And you know what? I think I might... In our episode, said I might have said, "Oh, it's my favorite." I might have done that, but re-listening to it and in comparison to the others, I'm just like, "Eh, I don't know." What about you?
No, I don't really care for either other version that we've been listening to. It is certainly compared to the Nancy Sinatra version, but they're just not ones I gravitate to that I'll listen to again and again. Like some of these other ones that we will mention, but even like Thunderball by Johnny Cash. Like I listen to that. I frequent that song.
Yeah.
These ones, never. Mr. Kiss Kiss, Bang Bang, I listen to also. I frequent that as well, but like not either of these.
Was this a situation with Nancy Sinatra that it was also maybe the name that played a factor into it?
Not
that the others were any good, but like,
well, yeah, originally they wanted Frank Sinatra, if you'll recall, and he's like, nah, give it to my daughter.
It's like,
or else the mob will get you.
That's like, can we get McDonald's? Like, we have McDonald's at home, and then you go home and it's carrots, dry carrots. Nancy Sinatra is good. She's not dry carrots, you know.
Great analogy.
Thank you.
You know, this one's an interesting one, this next theme of the man with the golden gun. A big high contender for it was Alice Cooper and his band doing the theme for The Man with the Golden Gun. We got, don't make me say it again, The Man with the Golden Gun by Lulu. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people in the Bond community and just music listeners in general, they put the Lulu version pretty low as far as ranking the Bond theme songs. I find it to be a slapper and a banger, and I enjoy it quite a bit.
I'm rubbing off on you.
Yeah.
It's a slapper.
And the Alice Cooper version, though, is very, I don't want to say it's out of character for his band, because the song still is a good Alice Cooper theme. or song rather, but it like, I don't know, he's able to bring some class to it, not just like this rock and roll 80s band or 70s metal band kind of thing.
I think the whole like ba-bum-bum, 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 oops, sorry, I hit the mic, ba-bum-bum, like that whole rhythm and beat and like the abruptness of that mirrors the brass that you're so used to with Bond. I will say, though, it gets a little spooky Halloween-y towards the middle. I don't know. Like, I thought, when I was listening to the song, I thought it just, like, changed halfway through. I was like, what am I listening to? I was like, oh, this is still the same song. Okay.
Yeah, it definitely does feel like two different songs, because out of nowhere, it's like, ooh. It looks,
like, very alien-y, like, Halloween-y, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, and then it's, like, kind of breaks down this, like, jazz bit, like, da 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 da, and then gold. So there are some odd bits to it, but it's still a pretty cool theme. It's almost like they watched Live and Let Die, and they're like, this movie's kind of spooky. They got voodoo stuff going on and supernatural elements, so I bet they're going to do that in this one too. But not quite. How do you feel this song by Alice Cooper compared to the one we get with Lulu?
Again, I just think it doesn't fit the Alice Cooper one. I think if he had just stuck with the ba-bum-bum, da-dum-dum, da-dum-dum, and not gone in the territory of this is Halloween, like all that, I do like the song better.
You do.
Do I think it fits? I do really like the man with the golden gun. We've said it like so many times at this point.
Oh, so you do like the Lulu version.
Yes, I do really like the original one, but I think I like the Alice Cooper version more. Version. Okay. Sorry. Gotcha, I think Alice Cooper's song more.
Yeah. What about you? I'm a Lulu gal myself. yeah, you can't beat that. Like, he has a powerful weapon. Yeah. But that could also just be ingrained in my, you know, my many years of hearing it and viewing it. But I've also listened to the Alice Cooper version for many years, too.
You know, now that I think about it, like you framing it that way, it fits the movie so much better.
Which one?
Lulu.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because, I mean, undeniably. But I can't, now that I think about it, I really can't imagine the Alice Cooper one fitting that. Don't know. I might change my mind six times. Who knows?
This next one is interesting because also it's hit or miss with some people with For Your Eyes Only. The theme song by Sheena Easton is usually down there for a lot of people. Just because it's a little too on the romantic side, and we have just been bombarded in a row with many romantic songs that a lot of people consider better.
So this is the original one that you're talking about?
The original. Okay, gotcha. The one we got in the final cut. And it's ranked low most of the time for people. I actually have this one fairly high for me. There's just some classicness to it. I don't know how to explain it. I just really enjoy it.
The one part where as it comes down from the chorus, it's so beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's nice to listen to. It's nice to watch something with it playing.
Yeah.
It fits, obviously.
And we had, you know, Spy Who Loved Me with the Nobody Does It Better. You had Moonraker. And then you get this, and it was kind of like, all right, another slow one. And that's how a lot of people took it. But it was very popular at the time. I think it's what Sheena Easton is known for, if I'm not mistaken. Like, this is her signature song kind of thing.
I've never heard of her until you just said her name right now.
And she's also off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure she's the only singer to be featured in the opening title credits as like, she's one of like the, you know, the dancing naked Bond girls in the intro.
But she's like fully clothed though, right?
No, sort of. Not really.
A little scantily clad.
Yeah. You see a lot of shoulder.
This is back when like dancing with your shoulders, like that's like dancing sexy was all shoulders.
The version that got rejected though was by Blondie. And I'm just not a fan of this song. But a lot of people really like it and feel that they made a mistake and didn't pick that one. I can't agree.
I agree with you. I don't even remember how it goes, and I've been listening to these songs all day. And that was always the one that when it started playing, I would check the playlist to be like, is this, am I still listening to the right one? Even after I listened to it, I would just completely forget about it. It just didn't have, it just, I don't know. I didn't like it. That's pretty much the beginning
Yeah,
and
to
end of
me,
that.
you use the word unmemorable, and
Generic.
it's boring to me
Yeah.
a little bit. It's the one that goes like bum 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 da 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 da
I
da.
have no memory of
I
this.
don't know
No,
the words, but for your eyes only, for your eyes
it
only.
just
That's not
sounds
what
like
she
they were
says.
like just coming up with it on the spot. Like, guys, we forgot. For your eyes only. Like, and although I cannot remember it.
Yeah. A Blondie, very popular 80s band, but not for me. They did definitely make the right decision here, despite what others might say.
And I mean, it's kind of nice because they could have gone with star power there, but they didn't. And I think in the long run, it pays off.
Yeah, I mean, this song was number one, and I believe, yes, it was the first Bond theme to be nominated for an Oscar, for Best Original Song.
Nice.
And she performed it at the Oscars, and it featured not Roger Moore, but it featured I think Richard Kiel reprised his role as Jaws. There's like a Bond action sequence, and like Bond was fighting the villain, and he fought Jaws and
That's
stuff.
awesome.
So Richard Kiel came
He
for
like
that
didn't have
live
any other
performance.
gigs. He was like, please guys, you gotta give this to me.
But yeah, so and that's a good example of the power of the James Bond theme song. It definitely accelerates your career.
That's
And
awesome.
we've seen recently the last three Bond themes have each won an Oscar, which is
One.
one.
Woohoo. Very
Yeah, Billie
nice.
Eilish, Sam Smith, Adele.
Nice.
The next song was not sung by either of those people.
Oh,
This one's gonna be I'm curious your response to this one, because I know you, our audience, doesn't know your thoughts and feelings on The Living Daylights, certainly the theme.
I've expressed my feelings.
Nah, I pinched you. I said no, we'll save that for another
That's
day.
right.
Perhaps today's the day. The Living Daylights, the one we got in 1987, was by A-ha, a very popular band at the time, certainly. And they give a song that I rather enjoy. Margot, how do you feel about
Oh
A-ha?
God, it's like I'm holding back a pit bull because I have so much energy because of how much I dislike this song. Now, the analogy I used for like for your eyes only, where I was like, oh, it just sounds like they came up with it on the spot. I was like, I've said that about something. What did I say that about? It was the Living Daylights. I hate that song. The Living Daylights. The fuck? You are a what? No, lazy. Sorry, what? What you pointed at my feet. They're nice, huh? lazy, 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 and just so boring like this. I'm just like, I don't even know if I sang the right song. Did I sing the right song? I did. Yeah. See, that's all it took.
Live
It just,
by
oh,
where we
don't like it.
going,
It is
I swear.
monotone, and it is, you know what? They did Take On Me, right? Like, how do you go from that to that? The Living Daylights. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. I don't like it. I have very strong feelings about it. I will take this to my grave. And and that's the thing. I'm not a music person, so I can't like dissect it in a very comprehensive way. I just
Sure.
don't like it. That's
Yeah.
it. And it makes me mad for no reason. I'm mad about most things, but this is one of them. Groundbreaking.
Yeah,
What do you think of that?
we're not music experts. We just know what we like, and that's
Yeah,
the opinions we're taking into this.
we're not saying like, "Ooh, Moonraker has a B section." Like, I don't even know what that means. I just
No.
heard someone say that one time. I was like, "Oh, that sounds smart." About the Star Wars cantina theme or whatever. Somebody said that. it has a B-section. I don't know what that means to this day.
Okay.
Anyways.
I mean, yeah, I don't either.
So what was the alternative? I don't even remember, unfortunately.
So it was by the Pet Shop Boys. Mm-hmm. And it could have been anything, and you would have been like, yeah, they made a mistake. They should have went with this one.
No, but I remember liking it, though, at least.
Yeah, it had a very interesting, like, music beat. And the Pet Shop Boys have, like, an interesting vibe to their singing and voice. But it was like, I don't know the words either. But
you take
know,
it away.
Like, poof, pooch, poof, pooch, you know, and then it's like,
oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, actually, I do remember this. Yes, mm-hmm. And I actually liked it. I thought it was, okay, was it a Bond theme? No.
It had the potential to be, but it kind of stays fairly stagnant mm-hmm. the whole time. Like, it starts like, oh, this is cool. Oh, all right, the lyrics are interesting. Oh, here's the refrain. Here comes the big hook. But it's more the same. It's yeah. just kind of stagnant as the whole song plays out.
It's not a Bond theme, but neither is Aha's. So see, I'm like, just go with the banger. Just go with the better
they
one.
They did. The song.
No, Aha. They didn't.
Yeah, I'm a big I do really like the you know how's it start
no I started
the music part of it, you know. No, that's I keep wanting to do View to a Kill. It's like the guitar line, guitar lick.
Okay, I'll give you that. That is good. That is
and then the keyboard.
But then he goes. It's like he's trying to like cover up. He's like talking through his burps the entire time. You're like, God damn it! You guys are off to such a good start. I will give you the opening is very good. I will say that. And that's I think the most Bond thing about it. But like just changing the key one time does not make it good. I don't know. It's just it. I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
And I like the other one more.
I look forward to our Living Daylights episode for as much as you dislike the theme. I was going to say I dislike the movie itself. I don't dislike that movie, but it's definitely down there for me. And we're going to share some passionate
feelings. We're going to yell a lot. Well, I will.
Yeah. So moving on, we have this one's interesting to me. For GoldenEye. So GoldenEye, we're so familiar with Tina Turner mm-hmm. and her version of it. And I would even argue, well, because Bond was new to you at the time, but there, I guess I'll preface by saying you've heard many Bond themes. You've heard all the Bond theme mm-hmm. songs. You haven't seen all the movies, but this might have been the first one that you really liked.
I just, oh, so good. Boom, 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 boom. It's like you can see Bond on his tiptoes. You can, boom, 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 boom. He's, ba-na, sneak in. You know, obviously, that's not how she intended it for anyone to interpret, but it also has some very communist themes, which fits the movie. I was about to be like, which I like. No, I don't. No. What was I going to say? We actually didn't even touch on that on the episode. We didn't talk. I don't think we talked about the theme at all. My favorite Bond theme, the best ever. It's just a great song. It's an amazing song. It fits the opening of the title sequence. It fits the movie. And it's just, it's powerful and it delivers that message and it sets the tone for the movie, which I think is the most important thing about the Bond theme is that it needs to be like, this is what you're getting into. And it's dark, but it's gritty and it's well-rounded is the best way I can put it. But I love it. And yeah.
You know, at the time, Ace of Base was a very popular band in the early 90s. You know, they saw the sign and it opened up all our eyes.
Yeah, well, so is Barney. You know what I mean? Like,
and they did a version of GoldenEye that got rejected. And, you know, the opening, like the music opening of it is like super promising. It's very interesting to hear. It's like, mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, but then she starts coming in with the lyrics, and you're kind of like, yeah. Well, you had words about this, right?
Yeah, I did. It just sounds like, I want to see, because what did she say? I used to love you like a friend or something like that. What was it? Like,
I can't remember.
She was in love with you and then she wasn't. And now we're like really good friends, but I don't want to be good friends. She just wants to be friends with me, you know, whatever. But, I want to see like a compilation of like Sean Bean and, Piercy Boy, just looking at each other longingly and like just a compilation to that song where it's actually just like a gay romance. Because that's what that song sounds like. A gay romance. No, just it's too romantic and it's like it playing over the opening sequence or the title sequence. Sorry. Like you see all these like communist themes and it's just like, I used to love you like a friend. Like, wait, like the United States and Russia? Like what?
Yeah.
What's the relationship here? What are your take? What's your take on it?
I thought it was funny. You said before recording, you're like, this song just sounds like she's like talking ideas.
Oh, yeah. Wait, that's.
Yeah,
I'm so funny. No, it gives the same energy as like a country song where it's just pointing things out.
That's
over here, that's over there. I'm on stage, I'm singing. You know, like that's just there's nothing. Like,
Golden Eye is the place where the night is so cold. We're in the 90s. Oh, that's it. In the 90s, it's so different than before, or something like that.
Oh my gosh, she's not saying anything of value. She's just like pointing things out, like there's a calendar in the room, so she's like, we're in the 90s. You're like, yeah.
The lyrics don't match, or they don't like reach where it needs to for like a Bond theme, if you ask me, at least a classic one. Or a great one, but I do find the music beat of this song very interesting. And I'm like, oh, okay, this could have been a cool Bond theme, but yeah.
But it's not, so.
And I don't feel the same way about this next one with Tomorrow Never Lies by Pulp. It was Tomorrow Never Dies. This is the one I picked. There were so many versions of this, or not versions, but submissions for this movie, because it was the big, you know, one of the big movies to come out. GoldenEye was such a big hit. Everyone wanted to put in a theme for Tomorrow Never Dies, and because a lot of them didn't get picked for, like, copyright reasons, they changed the title from, like, Tomorrow Never Dies to Tomorrow Never Lies, or I don't know, a million other different titles, but, this one by Pulp, I don't care for it. At first it sounds like, I don't even know who Pulp is for one, but it sounded like David Bowie singing it.
That's who I thought was singing it at first. I honestly was like, oh, I had no idea they rejected David Bowie, but because that's a bold move. It's whiny. It's not. Are you playing it?
No, I'm looking to see if it was David Bowie. It's not.
It wasn't. Yeah, like it just. Boring.
Tomorrow never dies.
Yeah, it's like mashed potatoes with no salt. You're just like, I mean, it's in my mouth. Like, I'll swallow it, but, you know, I don't know. stop. It's fine.
Yeah. I honestly don't have many comments on it because I just don't frequent that song. I never really enjoy. I've heard it for years every now and then, but I'm just kind of like, ugh, I'll listen to the real version or another rejected theme that we'll go over here in a minute. But has it been a minute? So Katie Lang did a song called Surrender.
Yeah.
And this was composed and worked on together with David Arnold. Now, David Arnold did the music for Tomorrow Never Dies. Mm. And so this is like his own molded James Bond theme song. And if you hear this thing, it is a Bond theme song. But the producers wanted to go a different direction because, not Shania Twain, Jesus. Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow. I was just thinking Shania Twain.
Sheryl Crow, you know, like hot rock star at the time. Yeah. Like she put in a theme for Tomorrow Never Dies and they went that direction. Now, I really like that song still, the Tomorrow Never Dies we get in the movie. And Surrender by Katie Lang does get put in the end credits. It's the end credit theme song.
Nice.
And once again, as we mentioned with like Thunderball, beats of surrender are scattered throughout the score of the movie.
That to me shows that it should have been the theme. Mm-hmm. That was totally a star power move. Because I actually don't like it. Was Sheryl Crow, you said? Yeah. I don't like it. It's just I don't like her voice too much. It's very I'm so sexy. You're like yeah. You are, but like good for you. It's I don't know. It's like you, the fact that you can just go surrender like that just makes you my overalls went clinkety clank when I did that. That was fun.
Surrender makes your overalls go clinkety clank. I almost said your ovaries. Whoops. This song makes my ovaries go clickety clang.
Yeah, it does, honestly, though. Surrender. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
But, you know, the Sheryl Crow version, you get that, like, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Yeah, but then it gets boring.
Darling, I'm killed. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It starts good, then it sucks. Like, okay.
No, I don't think it sucks.
It doesn't suck.
I also really enjoy it. But, you know, yeah. I never really thought where it sits in my ranking, to be honest.
Oh.
yeah, it's not my top 10, that's for sure. But it's probably high up there
in that regard. It's not my taste, but I see why people like it. It starts off really strong. And then it just kind of pumps the brakes and you're like, what? Just keep going that direction. That's what I like about Surrender is that it keeps it going. And I haven't seen Tomorrow Never Dies, so I don't know what the movie's like.
Yeah, you did.
What?
That's the one with the media moguls, the villain.
Wow. That I totally forgot about that. Oh, that was fun. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
Okay. That kind of changed. Does that change my mind? Not really. No. It does not.
Yeah.
Everyone was on the edge of their seat. Like, did it change her mind?
Find out when we review that movie down the line on A Good Squeeze. It's not as strong as Surrender by K.D. Lang.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It definitely was. Star power was behind the decision. You know, you got the hot rock star, or you got like the lesbian bassy with the bassy voice and that was what people have said in documentaries.
Oh, okay,
that's why they went that direction.
I was about to say, like, that sounds like something they'd say during the meeting with the doors closed, but I guess they said that very openly. So
yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah, it was interesting, but I do really, really enjoy that song.
Mm-hmm.
This one's also this next one is another Is it a rejected theme? Who knows? Truthfully. And that is for Quantum of Solace.
Mm-hmm.
We get Another Way to Die by Jack White and...
Was this...
Keys. What was it? Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys, yes. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
Alicia Keys and Jack White. Me, I've always really liked the song, but a lot of people dislike it because it sounds a little whiny and a little...
Oh, it slaps.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it slaps.
I like
so
it.
Hard. Here's my beef with that opening sequence is it's the actual movement and the ladies in the sand. So boring. It doesn't match that energy at all.
Like,
one time, here's the thing, if you were gonna go with something a little bit smoother, a little bit more spassy, then yes, but it's got so much energy to it. They could have done so much more with it. It just seemed like they kind of just took a drone and went over the Sahara. Like, that was it. It's just like these like high pans, and then you see like not Christian Bale, Jesus Christ, and not Jesus Christ either. What's his name?
Close. Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, thank you. On his way. No. Daniel Craig like just kind of walking in the desert in a tux, and then like
pointing his gun.
It didn't match that energy. It was too cautious of an animation, which is what it was. And that song is so powerful, and I think they really messed up on that. They got the right song, they just didn't get the right animators.
Well, I don't know if I agree if they got the right song after hearing the rejected theme. And I said I don't know if this is a rejected theme. I'll explain why. It's by that damn Shirley Bassey coming back and singing yet another potential Bond theme song. She had done three, so this would have been her fourth. And the last one was Moonraker. Or no, sorry. Yeah, Moonraker from 1979. Mm-hmm. So this is 2008. So there had been quite a gap. And the song is called No Good About Goodbye. And it maybe fits that opening title sequence that you're talking about more more smooth, a little more sultry is the, nice. Is the song, and but still powerful too, still classic. Like it feels like a classic Bond theme song, very fits in her like Bond theme repertoire of like Goldfinger, Diamonds Are Forever, Moonraker, could have been No Good About Goodbye,
and it would actually fit the movie too.
Yeah,
I really think it would. I agree. You know what?
And beats of the song are woven into Quantum of Solace also.
Once again.
Now, the reason I was stating that it's debatable if it's a rejected theme is because David Arnold himself, who composed and worked on the song with Shirley Bassey, stated that it was not considered for the theme. He was working on this as like a personal project or like a separate project. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that because like a lot of the pieces, like you use part of the music in the movie.
Sounds like he's saying that for the record. Like Shirley Bassey was like, you said you were going to use this. He's like, I never said that. Just gaslighting her the whole time. He's just spreading that information. Like that was a personal project. I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, it's hard to make a decision based on that because yes, it's all speculation for me to be like, I think it was a rejected theme, but he's saying it never was even considered. So hard to say. You get to listen and decide for yourself.
And it's nice though. I do like that it would have fit the title sequence better. And then I like that Alicia Keys and Jack White, they just needed an upgrade in terms of, or not an upgrade, just something different.
To match their energy. Mm-hmm. I get you. This next one's very, I say that about every single one. This one's interesting out of a clash because of what we get and what was presented. Both would have been strong options, but very, very different. That's for Skyfall.
Yeah.
So we got Adele, obviously, singing Skyfall, probably amongst the most known Bond theme songs now in Skyfall. But Muse did a version called Supremacy, not a version, a submission for the Bond theme song. And it definitely incorporates Muse's like heavy rock, but I don't know, there's something classy about it that still feels Bondish with it woven in there. This one's probably closer to what we had been getting up to this point with like Chris Cornell doing You Know My Name for Casino Royale, and as we mentioned, Another Way to Die, these more like rock centric themes, and Adele's fits more of the movie we get in something, and it needed to be more of a ballad, like an emotional ballad. But
I will say Adele does have that kind of like, the best way I can phrase it is, because I'm not good with analogies at all, is I think that Adele, if I were to cast like a lounge singer, you know, in a movie, I would cast Adele because she has a relevant voice, but she also is able to embody like a time gone, like a time in the past. You know what I mean? Like she can bring that class of lounge singer. Why would I? That's so dismissive. I'm sorry. I take that back.
That's not dismissive.
It's a little dismissive. It's Adele. I was like, you'd be a great lounge singer. that's awful. Regardless, my statement still stands in terms of like, she's able to bring that kind of nostalgic feel to her voice. She, you know, very much tailored her style to like be super specific. And I feel like it's there's some components of that. I phrased that terribly, but I hope that made sense. She has a classic tone to her, and it fits the Bond, you know, franchise. It fits it. You can kind of like, I'm really having a hard time communicating my thoughts on this. What I'm trying to say is it works, and there's more longevity to it. Muse, it's too specific. It still works, but it's too specific of a style. And I agree with you, and it would not fit that that specific movie. It doesn't set the tone.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a long time of talking to say nothing. So sorry about that.
Thank you for that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Supremacy. It is a good. It's a cool song. I like jamming to it every now and then. And you know, the lead singer, he hits some good high notes too. Like, so I don't. I'm not gonna try
it. Do it now.
Supremacy.
Oh. You were waiting to do that. That was good. That was pretty good.
No, it's a cool song, but in comparison, this is definitely one they made the stronger choice. And also, Adele was the megastar at the time, and still is. So, mm-hmm. In the long run, that one worked. This next and last one, is an interesting conversation. Like I said, every single one of these is interesting.
Actually, what's interesting about this one, but more than the other,
is Spectre. So Spectre, we got Sam Smith, Writings on the Wall. Once again, Sam Smith was the megastar at the time. Mm-hmm. So, and very unique voice. And when it was announced he was doing the theme, in my mind, I was like, this is awesome. This makes sense. And of all the Bond themes I got, or movies that I've got to see in the theater, so for the last 15 years, I don't listen to the theme until I see the movie. I sit in the theater and I experience it for the first time as God intended, and Barbara Broccoli, for me to sit and watch it, you know, for the first time with the title sequence. So I hear Writings on the Wall and I'm like, oh man, this is up there for me. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That was one of those songs that I would just listen to, and then I met you, and you were like, oh, this was for a Bond theme. I was like, what?
Yeah, okay.
It just sounds, it's a really great song. The orchestra, that super, really is what sells powerful. It as the band. As the band? As the Bond theme. I do really like Sam Smith. I don't like, he's not my go-to or anything, but he has the voice for it. It's soft, but it can convey a lot of emotion. And I think the whole composition of the song is brilliant. But on that note,
so Radiohead, who is obviously not the, I guess, like, if you have these things on paper, what's going to sell more? Sam Smith would be above Radiohead. Put out a song called Spectre. And what's interesting, like I was saying, what is interesting about this is
everything else before that was not interesting. So
everyone submits their song to be chosen, and Radiohead was specifically asked, like, please submit a song, because the director Sam Mendes really liked Radiohead and would have loved for them to do a song. They submitted a song that they had already done from the 90s, and if it was accepted, it would have not qualified for Oscars and awards and things like that, because it's not an original song.
Mm-hmm.
So they passed on it and ended up going with Sam Smith and made announcements and blah, blah, blah. Well, then they came back with this song, Spectre, and sent it in, and it was too late. But the director himself said he would have rather put that in.
Yeah.
And I might have been misquoting here and there, but that's the gist of it.
He said, I hate Sam Smith.
because the Spectre song, also the producers, I believe, said the Spectre song by Radiohead was a little too melancholy.
It's a melancholy movie.
Yeah. It's
You're like, I don't agree. Go ahead.
It is a haunting song, and it is a very cool song, and I could see it. I really like Writings on the Wall. I could see it instead of that song in this movie.
I agree. I actually, in terms of replayability, is there a word for that? Okay, replayability.
That is the word.
I would say, oh, cool. I would say I like the Radiohead one more. In terms of, again, longevity, I really do like Writings on the Wall. I have nothing against that song. I think it fits beautifully, and I think they did make a right choice But I think they would have also made the correct choice going with Radiohead. I really like that song. It's beautiful. There's like layers to it. It makes you feel like you're kind of falling down an abyss. Like I'm gonna stop there. Abyss. There we go. That's how I feel listening to that song.
It does feel like you're falling down an infinite hole, kind of at a medium pace. You're not plummeting. You're just floating down, and it's haunting, the song.
I have a story.
It's almost melancholy.
It's almost, but not quite there, but almost. When I got hit by a car, at one point, so right at the moment of impact, I like blacked out, but then when I came to, I was rolling backwards, but in literally like my brain was processing it in slow motion. And that's how I feel. But like, it was like so beautiful at the, it sucked after, but it was so beautiful at the time. That's very much how I feel listening to that song, where there's an impact and you're processing it in like slow motion. I think like it just, the melancholy, what's the word I'm looking for? Not morbid, not sordid. The sad nature of it.
It's really very sad.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at in terms of communication today. It was very, very sad. And that's how, it just conveyed that beautifully. And I think it would have worked just as well. It kind of sucks that it was like so last minute. And I really think they would have maybe done something bigger with it, considering how much it would have meant to the director.
Yeah.
I think it would have reaped something more significant.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. And as stated, we are by no means music experts. We just know what we like. So we're just spitting out our opinion on each and every one of these songs. And
we're actually kind of dumb. So, you know.
I encourage everyone to go out and seek out these rejected Bond theme songs. Because not only is it interesting to to view it via like history,
but
some of these songs are really good.
Yeah,
even like not as a Bond theme, maybe as a Bond theme, but as a song, a lot of these are very good. So I recommend checking them out. But on that note, which one's your favorite?
Do you have one guess?
Da, da, da,
brum, yes, brum. Actually, yes. It is. Thunderball by Johnny Cash.
That's not surprising to me.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know it's not surprising, but I'm actually so happy that you guessed it on the first try.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, fucking slapper. Fucking banger. Hell yeah. Oh, so good. I think it's because it is very different. But it's Johnny Cash. It's Johnny Cash. You can't go wrong with that guy. What about you?
Well, I
won't guess because I'm going to get it wrong.
Well, I don't know why you were so surprised because
I wasn't surprised. I was happy.
Okay.
Well, I went, yay!
Well, you literally just said, I'm surprised you guessed on the first try.
Oops.
You listen
I'm happy you guessed it on the first try.
You listen to that song all the time, so obviously.
Well, all the time. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead and guess mine. Wrong? No.
Yeah. Is it... we were talking about this for a while, so it's kind of hard to think about all the songs. I don't know. No, is it Thunderball?
So,
it's Thunderball.
I have a two-part answer, two favorites. Personal favorite is yes, indeed. It's Thunderball by Johnny Cash.
Yes!
I love listening to it. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fun song. It's a good, I love Johnny Cash. It's a great Johnny Cash song that not many people listen to or have heard of. I really enjoy it, and that's my favorite of these rejected themes. However, my other favorite rejected Bond theme would be the one I actually think could have and maybe should have been the Bond theme song, and that was that maybe rejected theme of No Good About Goodbye by Shirley Bassey. I feel like you hear that song, and you're like, oh, this is a Bond theme, and why didn't it go in this movie? It would have fit so well. It just would have fit that film so well.
I like your answer, because there's just the one you enjoy, and then the one you think would have been a great Bond song.
I would say Surrender by Katie Lang, but that one kind of nudges away, because it at least is in the movie. It's the end title theme, but it's there.
Yeah. It, No, I like that answer a lot. Actually, it's interesting because sometimes whenever, you know, before when we first started dating, you would just put on these Bond themes and you'd have me just guess where they were from.
Yeah.
And quiz. It was a quiz more than anything.
Like, what movie is this?
Yeah,
and
a test
what
of our
year
relationship.
Did it come out?
Yeah, right. Name three actors and their birth dates. But you would throw in one of the rejected ones every once in a while. And I, even when I was like really starting to get it, I remember just being like, I don't know. Like, I just would freak out because I was like, damn it, I thought I did my studying. And then you were like, haha, I tricked you. And I was like, oh, that's cheap. But yeah.
Yep.
No, that's awesome.
But yeah, as stated before, check these songs out. You've heard our opinions. You've heard our favorites. What's yours? But yeah, I think it's going to wrap it up for here. We did something a little different this episode. Next episode, we're going to jump back into the movie world.
That's right.
007 and definitely, you know, have it be a more part of our lives and how we celebrate these movies.
That's right. You can find us on Instagram at A Good Squeeze. We are no longer A Good Squeeze Pod. We finally got the Good Squeeze name. So find us on Instagram, A Good Squeeze, where you'll be getting updates about new episodes and releases and any kind of update on how we squeeze a little James Bond into our lives.
That's right. And as far as listening goes, you can find us wherever you're hearing us now, but we're also on Spotify and Google Play,
the other
and
Amazon
ones. Music.
Mostly Spotify, I'm sure, is where
what I'm getting
are.
At is wherever you get your podcasts.
That's
hey,
right.
We're there. That's all the squeezing I got for you today.
That's right. And on that note, I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
And this has been A Good Squeeze.